proclamation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world Antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is part two of the message that I preached some time ago titled, A Living Testimony. It's a testimony of how God brought me to Christ and helped me to see that the Messiah for the Jewish people and for the world was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen and you'll get a great blessing with this message titled, Part Two Now, A Living Testimony of Dr. K. Daniel Freed.
And I tell you why it's the best country. Because this country, for the most part, has blessed the Jew, has blessed Israel, has been on the side of Israel. And God says, I will bless them that bless thee. It's come true, has it not? And I'll tell you right now that I went through a lot of suffering and I would curse God and say, God, how could you let me do this? Why? Why, I don't deserve this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for all this misery. Why are you letting me go through this? Why? God didn't have to give me an answer. Why should the clay be trying to question the potter as to why he was made in such a way? Why should the pot criticize the one who made him that way? Why God chooses to make you into a frog, you better praise Him for it. Amen? That's why I don't understand why the way people are. You got a blind boy, was born blind? What are you clapping about? Why, sing hallelujah! I heard a brother, we were in a missions revival, and he's totally blind and been born that way, I believe, and he's playing that piano and he can't see what he's doing, he's playing. And he's singing like I never heard a person sing. And he came and even preached a message and said, my Bible's 18 volumes long, you see, is what he told me. And he only could bring part of the book of Revelation. My sword, he preached verse after verse coming out of there, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it is coming out there. My soul, I said to me, I think I want to be blind if I can preach like him and play like him. Why don't criticize God? It's all for his glory. I'll tell you one thing, if I had to go back to the cesspool of sin, not that I enjoy it, but if I had to go through the whole thing over again to find Jesus, I'd do it. Look, you want to find some satisfaction in this life? You want to find some happiness in this life? You trying to be rich? Are you trying to have a nice big house? Are you trying to have a nice big whatever? And you think this is what life is all about? Why, it's worth nothing.
Right.
Jesus means everything.
Amen.
I've gone through it. And I'm so thankful that He found me. It's not that I loved Him, but He first loved me.
Amen.
He always loved me.
Amen.
He loved me before I was even born.
Good.
And then when I got born, you think the Lord just sat around and just waited around and did nothing to reach me? Oh, He's reaching you tonight, whoever you are.
Amen.
Maybe you've just been wondering what life is all about. God's knocking on your door of your heart. He's saying, what you waiting for, mister? What you waiting for, ma'am? I'm knocking on your heart. I've been knocking for 20 years, and you keep on keeping it there.
Amen.
Why, just open the lock, and I'll come through. Why, He loves you. He wants to save you. So in God's wonderful, miraculous, sovereign ability, I mean, now, this is not Calvinism we're talking about here. This is simply the grace of God. He wants all men to be saved. He wants the Calvinists to be saved. He wants the Arminians to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. By the grace of God, God bring your salvation has appeared to all men. Black, white, Chinese, whatever. He's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
But that all, A-L-L, that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
That's God for you.
Yes.
Why, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. In fact, God didn't even create hell for you.
Right.
But for the devil and his angels.
Right.
You got a choice. You'll follow God, you'll get and receive Christ as your Savior, embrace Him by faith. You'll get to heaven.
Amen.
Do nothing. You go right where the devil goes. A place that was not created for you. See, the devil knows he's going to be lonely. Well, you say, well, he's going to have lots of angels there. Yeah, but all they're going to do is be clapping about how terrible it was to follow the devil. But you're going to go there by default. Because you did not choose to follow Christ.
Amen.
Because when you were born, you're already damned. The Bible says you're condemned already. Because you believe not. Which means you came to the age of accountability, believe not, see. You can understand the gospel. And you just didn't do nothing. And so by default, you'll end up in hell. Anyway, after being in Israel for 3 years, I was 2 months away from being enlisted in the Israeli army, and I said, that's it, I'm not going to go into the Israeli army, and I'm not going to fight, and I'm not going to die over there. I'm an American. I'd rather die in the city than die over there in Israel. Even though I'm a Jew, I was still patriotic. I didn't understand all of that. And so I was on the verge of committing suicide. Can I come in? All I want to do is come in. My heart was bothered about where God is, who God is, what is His name, what is His Son's name. If thou canst tell, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 tells us God has a Son. And so God worked it out. Somehow or another, I called my granddaddy and I said, Granddad, I know you think I'm a bum. I know you think I'm on drugs. I know you think that I'm no good and not worth anything, and that's all true. I'm not worth anything. But I don't want to die in Israel. Would you please get me out of this place? I'm in a dungeon. I'm with people that don't have arms. The kids don't have legs. Their brain has been, you know, half of a brain, half of a head because of the wars there. I'm sick. I'm having nightmares. I've got to get out. That's the world for you. That's the problem. You don't see what goes on here. I notice there's a couple of children are not all together. You know, they don't walk exactly right, and one's blind and everything. Why? Most of the world would care less about that. But that's what sin is all about. You folks are getting older. You're losing your teeth. You're getting wrinkles. You'll say, what's going on? Sin. Why, you can't be happy in this world. This life cannot give you happiness. Why waste your time putting all that stuff on it anyway? Why don't you just grow old and be graceful about it? I know it's the husbands that make the wives put all that stuff on there. Come on. One day you're going to get old, mister. Mr. Handsome. So, all I'm trying to say to you is I had to get out. God worked for me to get out. I got out. I joined the military. I told you I was patriotic. I joined the army. And my uncle, who was a rabbi, chief rabbi in New York City, he was in charge of all the kosher food. Now, don't get me on this. I know I'm a Yankee by birth. I know I'm a Yankee by birth. But I'm a Southerner by heart. I am. You know why I'm a Southerner? First of all, one of the qualifications of being an elder, right, is he's a lover of hospitality. Isn't that the Southern way? And not only that, I'm also of the remnant of Israel. Was it not the tribe of Judah and Benjamin that was in the south? The 10 other tribes went to the north. You see what I mean? I'm in the South. I'm a Southerner. Now, whoever listens to this tape realizes that I'm in the South. But I often joke and say I'm a converted Yankee, you know. And so my uncle was about 82 years old, never was sick in his life. He had about 10,000 books in his library. Oh, mercy. And he had everything, the Koran, he had the Talmud, which is all the commentary, the Gemara, the Mishnah. There's like 20, 30 books on what the rabbis think the Bible says, you know. And they're all confused, you know. Someone once rightly said that when you have two rabbis trying to figure out a problem in the Bible, you come up with three opinions. And that's basically what the Talmud's all about. Opinions of man. Man-made tradition. And that's why, one of the reasons the Jews are blind today. They're following what man says instead of following what God says. I'm not going to trust man. I want to trust God. He said, trust in me. But he walked out and he wasn't looking or something, and he was walking out of his house, and all of a sudden a car backed out of the garage and just ran over him. Became a flat pancake. His life was taken at a moment. If anybody could get saved by his good works, my uncle could have been saved. But the problem was, he was going the wrong way. And then 2 months after, my grandfather died of a massive heart attack. And these were two men who had a lot to do with me getting out of Israel and joining the military and everything like that. And well, I was crushed. I thought my life was ended. I had absolutely no hope in this life. That's exactly what God wanted me to see. He wanted me to see that no matter where I go, no matter where I am, whether I'm in Israel and I lived in bomb shelters, and you put me in a bomb shelter, I'd be fine. I'm used to that. I lived in the most horrific places that you can find. But yet, and even when I came back to the States and I joined the military and I was in Hawaii, that's where I met my lovely wife, Rebecca. Even being in paradise, you know, they say it's paradise. That's what they say Hawaii is all about. All it is a den of sin. That's all it is. A place of lust. That's why people go to Hawaii. And they want to have a good time. But no matter where I went, I was empty. I was void of hope. That's one reason we call our mission the Hope of Israel. Baptist mission. I'll get into more of that during the week, all right? But it's a living testimony, and I got to wrap this up. Well, you think I'd be the enemy, right? I suffered in Israel. I had a terrible youth. My brother tried to kill me. My mother did the best she could. I never had a daddy. I mean, I never had a daddy. I never had a daddy that I could hold, that could hold me and say, son, I love you. I don't know what that means. The closest I have now is my boy. I can hug him and I tell him every day. I can't tell you how many times I tell him I love him. I do the same with my daughter, my wife. When's the last time you took your boy and say, I love your boy? When's the last time you did it? When's the last time you took your papa and hugged him and said, Daddy, I love you. You could be a tyrant. You could be a wicked man, but you love God and the Bible. You're teaching me right. When's the last time your husband wept with your daddy or your mommy? You don't know what it's like unless you've been there. And so, I came home and looking for the truth and so upset and so distraught about life, looking for the answer. Why me? Why would God allow me to go through all this? Surely there's got to be an answer to life. Man cannot be born just to die and become nothing. Why God put us here on the earth for a purpose? Where is the purpose? Who is the answer? Where do I find it? Why God's in the business of drawing all men to himself. And you know how he does it? He gets the Bible. And somehow he'll get the Bible to you. Now, I'd like to ask a question. How many here in this room can honestly say God is our witness? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If you lie to me, you're lying to God now too, because he sees. You're lying to everybody in this room here. But I'm asking you this question. How many can raise their hand and honestly say without any reservation that they know for sure that if they die today, they spend eternity with Jesus Christ? How many can raise a hand and say that? I know for sure that if I die today, I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me and I received him as my Savior. And I know when, I know how. Now, maybe some did not raise your hand. I'm here to tell you, and I don't mean to scare you, but I was scared. Those that raised their hand, did you get saved apart from the Bible? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? You get saved apart from the Bible? There's not a man or woman alive that ever could say, I'm born again, outside of hearing the Word of God. God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I'm going to go farther than that. The Bible says that we're born again by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And I am of the conviction that unless you have the pure, unadulterated, preserved Word of God, you cannot be saved. Now, I know that's profound. I know that's profound. But I'm telling you right now, God says you're born again by the incorruptible Word of God. What Bible qualifies that in the English language? Could it be the 95 version, the NIV? I really doubt it. Could it be the New American Standard? I really doubt it. How can it be? They've massacred the Word of God, torn apart, turn out what they don't like, take out the bloody colossic glasses. I take out the deity of Christ. But the King James Bible is still the Word of God. The Bible says every word of God is pure, He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Not only do you become a liar, but you can't be saved apart from the Word of God. That's why when you look at the non-independent Baptist groups, they live like the world. Everything they do is of the world. There's no life in them. There's no Holy Ghost revival in them. Because they're not saved. Regeneration, conversion has not taken place. Let us stand, please.
You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, the USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Heaven, there is no God like thee in the God of Israel.
This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. UN cover-up is the title of an article, and another article, its title is The UN, the Arabs' Latest Instrument of Choice for Israel's Demise. Well, what is going on out there with the UN? Are they sticking their nose where it doesn't belong? I believe they don't have a right to stick their nose any place, because there is no sovereignty given to an organization over the sovereignty over other nations. This has been one of the greatest plagues in our world today. And really what it is, when you look at it from a Bible perspective, you have a clear understanding what is causing all of this ruckus out there with the UN. They're trying to be the world police. They're trying to legislate their own kind of righteousness, which really is not righteousness at all. It's a satanic conspiracy. And the reason I say that it is because whenever you get a bunch of nations that are getting together under one banner, you see in the Bible that it's always an instrument of the devil himself to raise up against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at the Tower of Babel. Look what happened there. Are we to be reminded again as what happens, how it provokes God to jealousy when nations gather together in order to, well, usurp the authority of God Almighty? Before I read these articles, I want to read from the Bible so you get an understanding why this really bothers God when nations are gathered together under one flag in order to legislate their own agenda, because ultimately what happens is they go against God, and no wonder it provokes them to jealousy. But in Genesis chapter 11, once again I'm going to remind everybody listening about the history of nations gathering together. In Genesis chapter 11, in the Hebrew Bereshit, notice here in verse 1 the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and they confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Wow, isn't that amazing? This is what happens when nations gather together and they say, now, come on, let's have one flag, let's have one people, let's have one language, and let's build a tower to heaven. Oh, what a provoking of God's wrath. So I wouldn't be a part of this one world system. I wouldn't be a part of this one world religious system, this one world political system, with this one world economic system. I would not be a part of it, and you're a fool if you are. You don't believe the Bible if you're going to be a part of a system that God ultimately is going to destroy. You're wasting your time, your money, your effort, and it's the devil's lie. He's deceiving the nations and has already deceived the nations. Look what God says in Revelation chapter 18 about this one world system. And of course, referring to this one world harlot, the harlot, this mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the Bible calls her, and abominations of the earth. But notice in chapter 18, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, see that? For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. See, God's telling us to not be a part of this one world system, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So I wanted to preface the articles I'm going to read with the Word of God. I believe we need to have the Word of God to be preeminent in this broadcast and any ministry that seeks to glorify God Almighty. UN cover up with a question mark. Israel has clashed with the United Nations over a videotape containing information about the abduction of three Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah guerrillas on the Lebanese border in October. For months, the UN denied Israeli claims that the tape existed, but suddenly did an about-face, apologized, and admitted that a UN peacekeeper in South Lebanon took the video 18 hours after the kidnapping. UN officials said they did not consider the tape important because it was made so many hours after the incident. The tape contains footage of abandoned vehicles Hezbollah used in the attack. Two still photos from the tape were displayed on Israel television, showing a white Toyota four-wheel drive similar to those used by the UN in South Lebanon. Neither had UN insignia. Inside the vehicles, UN peacekeepers found UN insignia, uniforms, and license plates, along with weapons and explosives, according to UN spokesman Timur Goksel. The pictures seem to confirm Israeli media reports at the time of the abduction that the terrorists used UN vehicles and uniforms in the operation. It appears that the UN tried to cover up the pictures to avoid the embarrassment that Hezbollah terrorists disguised themselves as UN peacekeepers and carried out the kidnapping right under the nose of the peacekeepers themselves. But the admission of the tape's existence sparked a crisis because the UN agreed to hand over an edited copy only. The faces of Hezbollah terrorists would be covered up to protect them. The UN said it had to be neutral, but it is also facing threats from Hezbollah, which said it would consider the peacekeepers enemy spies if the UN gave Israel the tape. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon got on the phone with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan and demanded that the unedited videotape be handed over. But the UN is not budging. The decision was to offer an edited version of the videotape, and I have no reason to think that will change, said Chief UN spokesman Fred Eckhard. Israel says the attempt to release an altered version of the tape raises suspicions of complicity between the UN peacekeepers and Hezbollah. We think a crime of sorts has been done here, said Defense Minister Benjamin Ben-Eliezer. The disappointment is very great. The United Nations is cooperating with Hezbollah. And that's nothing new. The UN has always cooperated with terrorists and has always cooperated with those who are against Israel. The UN is not for Israel. That's obvious. And so it is. Now, I have already read similar things before, but I'm going to read another article titled The UN, the Arabs' Latest Instrument of Choice for Israel's Demise. The UN is preparing a world conference against racism to begin August the 30th, 2001 in Durban, South Africa. If the Arab delegations have their way, the conference will be an Israel-bashing instrument which exceeds anything yet seen in the UN. The Arab delegates are preparing resolutions harsher than the 1975 UN resolution that was repealed in 1991 after Israel was hit with Scuds, that classified Zionism as a form of racism and discrimination. Their aim is to delegitimize the Jewish people through both the resolutions and the terminology, says Israel's Deputy Foreign Minister Michael Melchor. This, of course, many of these articles I'm reading have been quoted in the Jerusalem Post. Melchor says that much of this new anti-Semitism comes from the Arab world, where it has existed for a long time and now is bonding with the historic roots of the European anti-Semitism that spawned the anti-Semitic crusades, the Inquisition, the pogroms in Eastern Europe, and ultimately the Holocaust. Melchor said that the new anti-Semitism is constantly intensifying and being distributed using new technology to an increasingly wide public. Indeed, have you ever noticed that one never hears an Arab leader in any part of the world speak a single positive word about Israel? Not in the papers, radio, or TV. Never. In Arab countries where the people do not have access to information from the free world, the message is repeated endlessly, and its impact will remain for decades. It is a poison which is being planted every day in a new generation, Melchor said, noting that the campaign is now being joined by non-Arab nations. It has a different power, a different strength than anything we've seen before, he said. There is an increasing trend on the part of human rights organizations in the West to not legitimize Zionism or the State of Israel and the Jewish people as a whole. The influential South African President Thabo Mbeki told Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon there was nothing he could do about the anti-Israel program being planned for the conference to be hosted by his nation. However, Secretary of State Colin Powell says he may boycott the conference if the Zionism is racism push is not altered. Well, I'm glad he said that. Hallelujah. He's been a little bit negative towards Israel, and I don't like that, but I am glad that he's at least listening probably to President Bush, and he's going to not participate in a anti-Semitic rally against Israel being held by all these countries and being sponsored, no doubt, by the UN. A preparatory conference for this World Conference Against Racism was held in Tehran, and Tehran, Iran, of all places. Can you believe that? They're not friends to Israel. Israeli military intelligence continually point out in article after article that Iran is the mother of all world terrorist sources. In Tehran, the representatives could not come to agreement on the exact wording of the anti-Israel resolutions they wish to adopt in the South Africa conference. So they are planning another pre-conference at the end of July in Geneva. Now listen, if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're listening to Hope Israel Baptist broadcast, I beg of you to write to the government, our government, the United States of America, write to the president, write to the secretary of state. I mean, write to our government, write to your senator and protest against this. Do not have any part in this whatsoever. I mean, can you imagine all the nations of the world trying to rise up against Israel and we send him back and do nothing about it? Oh, my, my, my. The current Tehran draft is blatantly anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, and absolutely original. In what the Institute of the World Jewish Congress calls a stunning display of verbal acrobatics, the proposed draft says that Zionism, the return of the Jews over the last century to the Holy Land, is the same thing as anti-Semitism. This double talk, says Melchor, is far worse than the Zionism equals racism concept that the UN General Assembly passed in 1975 in Durban. He said, Israel is being presented as the embodiment of all evil, the antithesis of all that is worthy and humane. Israel is being portrayed as the new Antichrist. For example, Clause 54 from the proposed text speak of the need to combat anti-Semitism. Oh, that it would. And Islamophobia as intrinsic to opposing all forms of racism. The draft of Clause 55 reflects deep concern at the worldwide increase in anti-Semitism and the increase of racist practices of Zionism, as well as the emergence of racial and violent movements based on racism and discriminatory ideas, in particular the Zionist movement, which is based on racial superiority. Another clause states, quote, we are convinced that combating anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and Zionist practices against Semitism is integral and intrinsic, to opposing all forms of racism. In Clause 25, there's a specific reference to Israeli settlement activity. In a section entitled Ethnic Cleansing, Genocide, Slavery, and Similar Crimes, the proposed text reads, quote, we affirm that a foreign occupation founded on settlements, its laws based on racial discrimination with the aim of continuing domination of the occupied territory, as well as its practices which consist of reinforcing a total military blockage, isolating towns, cities, and villages under occupation from each other, totally contradict the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations and constitute a serious violation of international human rights and humanitarian law, a new kind of apartheid, a crime against humanity, and a serious threat to international peace and security. That's a bunch of hogwash, is all I got to say about it. All that is they are playing into the very hands of the devil himself. Now, if you've listened to the program that was aired on the question, to whom does the land of Israel belong, you see very quickly that they have no argument. There is no argument. If you'd like to get that, you may order it, and we'll give an information at the end of the broadcast here and just request information about ordering, and we'll send that to you, and then you can order it. Now, here, Melchor challenges this description of settlements being crimes against humanity. If building an apartment in Jilo, a section of Jewish Jerusalem, is a crime against humanity, then the term has no meaning, said Melchor. Quote, he says, one can agree or disagree regarding Israeli settlement policy. One can agree or disagree about Israeli policy in the territories. But is Israeli settlement policy really the most hideous and awful crime against humanity being committed on the face of the earth? Man alive. If everything is a crime against humanity, then nothing is a crime against humanity. Leftist Knesset member Naomi Kazan describes Israel's international relations as consisting of three circles which should be kept separate. Number one, the first circle represents the government of Israel. Number two, the second circle relates to the legitimization of the state of Israel and Zionism, Jews returned to their ancient homeland. Number three, the third has to do with Judaism and anti-Semitism. Kazan says the Tehran draft has combined all of these circles. Kazan accepts the legitimacy of disagreeing with any government and its policies. She says, quote, "I am very critical of the policies of the government of Israel, but not of the legitimacy of the state of Israel or Zionism, and I cannot condone or accept attacks on Judaism." Foreign Minister Shimon Peres, the ultimate optimist, says this period reminds him of the dark periods of history when the Jewish people were under threat of annihilation. Well, we know what I've already preached about before. The Jews will never be annihilated, for God promised they'll always be around. Hallelujah! But still, the devil thinks he can. The devil thinks he can destroy Israel. And he's sure trying to do a good job at it. Now, it continues, he quotes here, "Today, Israel is the only member state of the United Nations to whose destruction three other members, Iran, Iraq, and Libya, are committed," he observed. "Along with the influence of Islam in the UN is the growing power of Europe, which is very sympathetic to the Arab cause. One reason for this is that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the European continent, and nearly 20 million people in the European Union countries identify themselves as Muslims, according to an American Jewish Congress publication. Furthermore, it behooves us as believers throughout the world to take note of the increasing intensity of Islam's radical nationalism, which is turning ever more destructive and violent. Islam is the main source of terrorism around the world. Over the last decade, many, if not most, Israelis believed they could make peace with the Palestinians. Now, it is obviously clear that this has become a conflict where the radical Islamics want no compromise and solution. Israel must go completely, totally, utterly. They say Israel is fighting for her life. The immediate cause of this upsurge in anti-Semitism is the ongoing intifada, Red Palestinian War against Israel. Read, rather, the Palestinian War against Israel. The immediate cause of this upsurge in anti-Semitism is the ongoing intifada. One source in the foreign ministry says it has set Israel back at least 10 years. Former Israeli ambassador to the UN, Dor Gold, explains, weakening Israel's international position weakens Israel's negotiating position in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The UN, comprising 189 nations, is an instrument that is closing in on the state of Israel. Its Arab Muslim members have tried to militarily destroy Israel for 50 years, but to no avail. Well, I give a hearty amen, hallelujah to that. Praise God for his protection of the state of Israel. Now, because of their numbers, 280 million, in fact, not including hundreds of millions of non-Arab Muslims in the world, and their billions of barrels of oil, they find that they and their friends wield great power in the UN. Arafat wanted a freeze of all house construction in Israeli settlement written in Oslo settlements. Having failed there, he has been able to raise the issue on the international arena through the Intifada. What they couldn't achieve in the bilateral discussions, starting with the Oslo talks, they plan to achieve at the UN, where Israel is at a disadvantage. If Israel is effectively excommunicated from the international community, it would have serious political and economic implications for Israel. A pariah like Israel would be isolated and cut off from the international economic cooperation and commercial trade. For a tiny country like Israel, this would be a disaster. Jewish organizations around the world are alarmed at this resurrection of anti-Semitic attacks originating within the UN. Early in July, Mekor convened a conference in London of some 60 Jewish leaders from around the world to discuss the Tehran proposals and how best to lobby against them. And Mekor is hopeful that somehow the drafts can be changed. So far, the U.S., Australia, and Sweden, along with U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, have expressed reservations regarding the anti-Israel bias. We, as watchmen on the walls, have a real challenge before us as we intercede in behalf of Israel at this upcoming conference. As you pray for the well-being of Israel, you're also praying for the welfare of your own nation.
And so it is.
God says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. So if you're not against anti-Semitism, then you're for the devil. If you're for Israel, you'll bless Israel. If you do not bless Israel, then you will be cursed by God. This is in the Bible. This is not just what I'm saying. This is what the Bible is saying. You want to be on the side of those that God smiles and God blesses? Or do you want to be on the side of those who hate Israel?
Keep His covenant and show His mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.